This is Strange Harbor.
Stories of UFO sightings and alien abductions date back centuries. My next guest says the rumors are true. He was abducted by aliens 45 years ago.
The abduction phenomenon is clandestine. The way the secrecy prevails is that first and foremost, the abductees are not allowed to remember what happened to them. So when they do remember, it's not a full memory. It's in bits and pieces of memory.
I did a polygraph, a voice stress test. There were eyewitnesses to this account.
Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, Alien Sasquatch, all things strange. This is Strange Harbor.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird,
the strange, the unsuspecting, and the gosh, I don't know, whatever we talk about. The different things, the strange things, the things that we don't normally talk about.
So what's been going on in the last week with you, Magoo?
Well, you know, just good stuff, mostly.
Mostly?
Mostly. Life goes on. We just have to keep paying attention to which direction we're going.
Got to keep on keeping on?
That's right.
I watched I Am Legend again. It was on TV. That's a good movie.
It's a very good movie. Yeah, I like that one.
It's about a guy who's like the last guy on Earth because of this doctor gal scientist creates what she thinks is a vaccine to cancer, gives it to all these people, turns them into zombies, and it's airborne, and it turns everybody into zombies, everybody dies except for Will Smith and his dog, apparently. He's trying to keep a society with just him to where he doesn't go insane. He's setting up mannequins in the video shop, and he pretends like he's talking to the mannequin video person so he just doesn't go crazy. At least that's what I took from that, scenarios like that. He has his watch set. When it gets dark, he best be in his house locked down, draped shut with the iron curtains and everything because the zombies come out at night.
Yeah.
And he's trying to come up with this cure because he's like the scientist that thinks he can turn these zombies back into people and save humanity. And anyway, that's all I'm going to say in case you didn't watch it.
You just spoiler alert. The whole show. It's a good movie.
It's
well done. You know, it's fun to watch. I've watched it probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 times.
So anything crazy going on in the wacky world or what?
Well, you know, I was out to dinner last night with some friends, and I just kind of asked if anybody knew of any strange things that we might talk about.
Yeah?
The guy told me about The Oakville Blobs.
The Oakville Blobs. Now, Oakville is near here.
Right. It's not far from here. He sends me a little blurb about it. It says, on August 7th, 1994, a bizarre gelatinous substance fell on the town of Oakville. By the afternoon of August 7th, residents of Oakville began to complain of a mysterious illness. They described having difficulty breathing, extreme vertigo, blurred vision, increased sense of nausea. And one of the town's residents, Beverly Roberts, was quoted as saying that everyone in the town contracted a flu-like illness that lasted 2 to 3 months. Additionally, several cats and dogs that came into contact with the substance fell ill and died.
Wow.
A sample of the substance was taken to a hospital and found to contain a large amount of human white blood cells, but nobody could identify how it came from the sky. The sample was then sent to the Washington State Department of Health for further study and determined to have 2 species of bacteria, one of which lives in the human digestive system. And evidence from the sample supported the fact that the substance was alive.
Oh, could it have been aircraft dumping their toilet?
That's a possibility, you know, with any kind of human fecal matter. But it must have been a big toilet to cover the whole town of Oakville. Not that Oakville's a big town, but...
No.
But it's big enough that it would be hard to cover the whole thing.
Well, our guest today is the alien hunter Daryl Sims, the one, the only. You've seen him on Ancient Aliens. You've seen him on all sorts of TV shows, documentaries. And maybe he has a take on this. Mr. Sims, welcome back to the show, and we've been talking about the Oakville blobs that happened in 1994, where the residents got rained on this mysterious blobby gel stuff, and then a lot of residents contracted the flu for like 3 months. They did tests on it and found it was a living organism, like one of the two organisms are found in the human digestive system. I thought maybe an airplane dumped its load, but you ever encounter any strange things like that in your alien hunting?
Yeah, we've had strange blobs like similar to that description drop in different locations and reportedly along the same lines of what you're talking about. Of course, the usual explanation is it's plane-related. It's they're flushing their commodes or whatever up there. That really doesn't make any sense. We have had other droppings of material that didn't make any sense, and they seem to produce plant-like material out of the yard of one of our abductees. We have had absolutely no explanation for it, and one of them tried to send me the culture, but unfortunately they sent it through the mail and it deteriorated. It was just a stinky mess when it got here.
Ugh.
But anyway, that happened out in California.
Wow.
Now, what do you think about all this? Your personal opinion. What is this stuff?
The obvious first question is it's some kind of a terrestrial explanation for the cause of that. But again, it would have to be something flying over. The second possible thing would be something, a comet. And by that, I mean, a lot of people think of comets in terms like Halley's Comet. It comes around every so often, you know, rare. But the fact is, we're hit with hundreds of comets a day.
That's true.
And most of them are so small that they're absolutely not noticed at all. And when the scientist first made that statement and discovery, he was banned from the Meteorite Society, basically. They said, you're nuts. And later, they found him to be absolutely true. So is it possible that a meteorite could drop something like that on the planet in a certain location? There again, with a logical explanation, logic being kind of like Occam's razor, it's an excellent way to present information, and the most plausible explanation is probably closest to the truth. However, one has to understand that logic is a good system of thinking, but it's not necessarily truth.
Right. It's a possibility, so I don't see why he'd be shunned like that. I mean, you want to throw all possible scenarios into the pot, wouldn't you?
Well, the scientific community, when you make claims that no one else knows about, you're obviously wrong. In fact, if it's when you say thousands of comets hit the Earth every day, you're nuts. Later, they found that statement to be true. But an even more glaring example, scientists went to observe the Sphinx and the Great Pyramid and so on, and as he began to look at it, because this was his field of endeavor in archaeology, he noted that the wear and tear marks around the base of the Sphinx are watermarks.
Right.
It had nothing to do with sand erosion or anything else. Well, immediately, once he gave that viewpoint, he was banned from Egypt.
Wow.
And the reason is because if those are watermarks, and they are, and many scientists agree to that now, about the only people that don't agree with that are Egyptians. And the reason is, if those are watermarks, well, the Sphinx and the Great Pyramid were here longer than before the Egyptians were.
Right.
So they didn't make them.
Right, wink,
so why
wink.
Are you taking credit for something you didn't make?
Right.
So that's their rationale for it. But it's another good glaring example. If you figure out something or find out something that you shouldn't, that other people don't know about, you're going to be in big trouble. And I honestly think I follow in that pile myself, because some of the statements that I've made concerning the alien makes a ton of sense when analyzed and looked at correctly, but in the eyes of people who need for the alien to be from outer space, from their Pleiades, the Zeta Reticuli, and all these other things, in the eyes of current science and current DNA work, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
It doesn't mean that there aren't aliens and beings out there all over the universe. I'm not saying that. Not saying that at all. According to the ancient literature in India, there are probably over 100,000 races out there. They may be. I don't know. I haven't been out there to look at them. But the seven models that we're looking at that identify themselves as aliens to human beings are, in effect, models, in my viewpoint. Some of the best DNA work of late shows that these things may, in fact, be from here.
How does that work?
Well, as a good example, as you know, when I come up there to the conference, I'll bring some DNA evidence about Bigfoot up there for you to look at and check out yourself. But one of the things I've said about the Bigfoot is one of the seven entities that people refer to as alien or something along that line, something distantly different than us. And my view has been that we've seen some of these Bigfoot entities in abduction scenarios. And clearly the Bigfoot guy does not have a clue what's going on. He doesn't seem to be want to be there or know why he's there, but he is, and is witnessed by as many as eight people in one event. But the point is that not arguing what he ultimately, where he ultimately came from, I don't know, but basically it seems to me that he's ape-like. A lot of people divide up into camps about, well, he's this, he's one of the evolving humans that didn't make it, now they're making it. No, there's all kinds of ideas, but my view is again, it's one of these, we're going to put you outside, so to speak, if you don't be quiet, is that he is ape-like, for sure, and that he's something else. And recently, DNA testing done in Texas, by the way, at a good DNA group, well-respected, showed that the DNA they had of the Bigfoot creature was, in fact, simian, or an ape-like creature, for sure, and that there was a problem. And the problem was that he has modern human female DNA. So how do you get modern human DNA of a woman mixed with a Bigfoot? Well, the way that happens is it's called a transgenic. It means somebody made it. In other words, if you saw a satyr, so to speak, walking down the street, some a half-human, half-goat-like thing, you wouldn't say, oh, my goodness, wow, that's an alien from another world. You'd probably say, oh, my gosh, it got out of the laboratory. Somebody did a transgenic being. They mixed the DNA with a goat and a human, and it, oh, my gosh, look at that.
Right.
To me, it's the same logic. But, however, when you present this to the UFO community, they don't look at it like that. They look at it as like, why? That's outrageous. How can you dare to say that? Well, the DNA suggested.
Right. The science said so.
That's the best answer.
So you discovered something that no one else has ever discovered, and that would be alien fluorescence. And that, if I'm not mistaken, is like if they were to touch your arm, you might not be able to see it, but if you were to take like a black light to your arm where they touched it, there would be like a fluorescent handprint. Is that accurate?
It is accurate, and in fact, a professor from MIT gave me a call after the first public surgeries that we did in 1995 on people with alleged alien implants, which turned out to be true, and he thanked me for the courage to go forward with those surgeries and so on, and we had a good conversation about that, and then he said, your new work on the fluorescent deserves a scientific paper. And this is the alien sweat, or alien fingerprint, as some people call it, that's left on the abductee once they physically touch you. Once these gray-type beings have interaction with human beings, they leave at least two different colorations. One is what we call casual contact, in other words, finger marks and things like that, where they touch you on the arm or hand, that sort of thing. And two, the second one, which I presented in the Native American Indian Conference here we had in Houston, the conference that I sponsor as well, I showed the fluorescence on a police officer. And in this fluorescence, I showed the examination that we did on the actual casual contact and equipment that actually shows up on the individual, identifiable equipment. And this was rather staggering because the police officer was in the audience on top of that, and got to see their own evaluation of it. So this is a pretty fascinating evidence that this sort of thing exists, and again, the science is there. It's just, there's no question about it.
You have people that reach out and say, hey, I think I've been abducted, or how does that work?
The fact is that when I go to a lot of these conferences, a lot of people attend these conferences, and they're not just looking for entertainment. I mean, they're fascinated to go to anyway. Your conference is a good example. It's a plethora of speakers and great information, well-researched, well-done, and a lot of these people attending aren't just there for the entertainment. They're there because they've had experiences. And when they look at these people presenting, myself being one of them, they go into great care to decide, can I trust this guy or not?
Right.
Is he for real? And after they hear you two or three times, they make their determination, and that's when they come forward. So sometimes with implants or evidence or the physical touch of the alien on them, or they're coming there to learn more about it and what can they do.
Are there any cases that you could anonymously share with us today? I understand if you can't.
We had a case that just happened just last week. So one of my abductees in Dallas, Texas, he's an assistant attorney general, retired, an attorney general of a state that we're talking huge. He is an abductee. He's was originally saw UFOs and they came over a nuclear base that he was guarding. And the UFO, it was a very bizarre, amazing story. But more recently, as he's come forward from my working with him, he has just agreed to tell his story, basically. And the story is that he has had contact with an alien entity, a hybrid-type female, that has been accosting him for some time. I took Terry to a TV program, and we interviewed him, and I put him under hypnosis, and we went through the whole recovering his memory. And then they asked me afterward, how do you know he's telling the truth or he's not making this up or whatever? And I gave them all these really good answers for that, and they were just stunned. And then I said, watch this. Then I, after Terry had drawn pictures and everything of the entity and everything involved, I pulled out drawings that we've had for nearly 30 years that were identical to his. It's the same entity seen in Houston, Texas by several of our abductees here. Terry was just shocked and stunned to see that it wasn't just him. It was other people, too.
That's amazing.
It really is. And especially the credibility of the witness is such that, I mean, when you're assistant attorney general of a state, you don't run around telling everybody, oh, I just got abducted by this hybrid alien entity. That's not a good career thing.
Right, right. Do you ever get those people that they don't know they were abducted, but then in some kind of hypnotic session or just counseling session, it just comes out of left field and anything like that?
I do, and I'll give you an example. This one's an engineer out of she came to listen to a presentation I did up in Sedona years ago, and she said, I think this is all a bunch of BS.
Okay.
And she said, doesn't bother you? I said, not at all. She said, but I did bother to take your test, and I 33 out of 35 of the markers for an abductee matches B. So what do you think? And I said, I don't think anything. I can't make you one. I can't make you not one. It is what it is. Well, 2 years later, she meets me down in, I'm doing a conference in Phoenix, and while I'm after I speak at the conference, she comes with my senior investigator, they're best friends, and she said, I want you to work with me in hypnosis and memory recovery, and I want to prove this thing absolutely wrong. She said, I have these weird sensations, weird feelings, that something's happened, and it's like it's being hidden from me. And I said, okay, and worked with her, and she instantly was in the regressive hypnosis. Was 3 years old, being led in by this gray alien into this craft, and she looked at the right room. There was a room on the right-hand side as they walked in, and there was a cow being mutilated in front of her by these various gray aliens, and the cow was bellowing, screaming, and everything, and they were just cutting it open, cutting the udder off the mouth, and, you know, the same thing you see in cattle mutilation. She's describing something at 3 years old that she never ever saw in, like, movies or anything. She's not a UFO fan at all.
Right.
And she's just stunned. And we go through her events as she's growing up and everything, and finally bring her out of trance, and she looks at me, and she's in tears. And she's, none of this can be true. None of this can be true. It just can't be true. Yet I was there. I saw her. Yeah, but it can't be true because, well, your logical mind doesn't want to accept it. That's okay. And I put her back in trance, and she finished, went out to her events up until recently, and pulled her out of trance, and she was just stunned. She said, it's kind of like Pandora's box. It's one of the things you sometimes wished you hadn't opened.
Right.
Because you can't get it closed once you open it. And she said, I agree. She said, thank you for helping me, and she said, I agree that I've had these events, but I, in my logical mind, cannot. again, logic is not truth. Logic is a system of thinking. And in my logical mind, she said, I can't deal with that. I just don't know. I don't know how to put it anywhere.
A typical skeptic would say, oh, he planted that in her mind, or he's just taking her money. What would you say to a skeptic that would throw those types of accusations
generally,
out?
I don't argue with people that of low IQs. I argue with people, and I argue with people usually that are science-related or medical-related. My response to them, first of all, is that I didn't charge her anything. I don't charge anything for the work that I do. This is a philanthropic effort. So if I'm doing it, I'm doing it for all the right reasons. Number two is, how can you say what happened or didn't happen? You weren't there, so you don't know anything. And a good example of this would be when CNN came to my home years ago. I brought two of my abductees over, two professional people in Houston. One of them's a therapist, and they said that right off the bat that they wanted me to hypnotize him. I said, that's not necessary, but they said, we'd like for you to do it. Well, the first complaint out of the guy's mouth was, well, I feel like you were leading you. I said, do you have any special training in NLP, hypnotherapy, psychiatry, or as a therapist? He said, no. And I said, do you have any special training in memory recovery? He said, none whatsoever. I said, then you have categorically stated that you're completely unqualified to even make your statement. I am, and I train people who are psychiatrists, psychotherapists, hypnotherapists. I said I'm a master hypnotherapist. That means I certify people in hypnotherapy. I didn't take the course. I teach it. And I said, for you to make statements like that to me, to begin with, suggests that you, number one, have an agenda and that you're not being truthful. I said, this individual, by the way, I said, I thought you might do this, so I brought his psych record, and it shows he's 100% sane. Number two is, I'd like to see your psych record. he got real bent out of shape and flustered. I said, and third of all, I said, when I regressed him back to his childhood, when he talked about being taken away by him and his little friend by this gray alien and brought back in different parts and dropped off the wrong parts of Houston when they were 3 and 4 years old, the story is true because we have the police records. So you're wrong on every sense of the word. I said, you're also wrong because I asked him specific questions like, what's the weather like that day? I said, let me ask you the same question. What was the weather like on September the 13th, 1974? You don't have a clue.
Right.
He had a clue. He knew. And I said, I went back and checked the weatherological reports, and they're exactly correct, which indicates his memory is right on target.
Wow.
A good example of this even further in the science realm is a guy approached me at when I was in England at the conference at the Sheffield University, and he walks by, and he's a scientist, and he looks at an engineer, he looks at the implants, the pictures and things, and he said, that's the biggest bunch of bull I've ever seen in my life. And I said, oh, then you must be the local psychic. He said, what are you talking about? I'm a scientist. I said, well, you're obviously not. I'm not a psychic. I said, yes, you are, because a psychic knows all kinds of information without any input whatsoever from anyone. He can just look at stuff and know it. And you do that. A scientist would have walked over and said, well, that's rather interesting. Do you have any scientific data to back up your statement? That's what a scientist would have said. You didn't. Well, I'm sorry. I should have said that. Well, do you have any scientific? I said, of course you do. We have over 400 pages of documentation. Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that. I said, then you need to stop acting like a psychic and start acting like a scientist and ask the right questions. Needless to say, that floated his boat, and he acted very civil whenever he left.
Well, it's time to take a break, and more with the alien hunter, Daryl Sims, coming up on Strange Harbor.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, alien, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, and our guest today, the alien hunter Daryl Sims, back on Strange Harbor. Now, you've mentioned Grays a few times, and you've been on the show before, and you've talked about Grays, how they may be kind of clones, emotionless, kind of almost like robot clones.
Our research indicates that there are at least three different types of Gray-type entities, at least three. And one of them is the small Gray that I refer to as the toaster. That means basically they're a dime a dozen. It doesn't matter whether they die or not or whatever. They've got droves of them. They're plenty. They're plentiful. And they have an IQ that's quite low. It's probably about 80, about that level of a moron. And that's why they make mistakes whenever they bring you back. They may put two people get picked up, two guys as an example, you may be wearing each other's clothes or part of each other's clothes because they put your clothes on incorrectly because they don't remember what went where. They make huge mistakes. So when you come back in the event, you're standing outside your house, as an example, and you're both just there, and you, what are you doing with my shirt on?
Right.
What are you doing with my shoes on?
Right.
And so on and so on. It's kind of a pretty clear illustration that you've been somewhere and something's happened that you are not really cognizant of. So the first alien entity is them, that they appear to be purely biological. The second type, it appears to be a biomechanical. One of our abductees tore the eye cover off of the alien, the so-called black eye, and it wasn't an eye at all, it was a cover. And there she saw a red stippled screen with little white lines, seven little white lines running across it back and forth, like you might see in a computer screen in a surgical suite, as an example. And the third type, these are entities that appear to be purely mechanical, gray-like beings. And these entities, oddly enough, when you see them, you might see three or four of them out there at a time, and they walk completely in unison. I mean, it's like they're absolutely programmed.
Do we get any reports of non-gray-type aliens?
We do. Like I mentioned, there are seven flavors of the alien, so to speak. The gray alien, there are two counterparts to that. One is the small gray, and the second one is one that looks just like him, but he's taller and he's a lot smarter. Some people refer to him as the doctor. If there's going to be an implantation or something, he's the one that's going to do it. And he's got an IQ of about 140. He's a lot smarter than the other ones. And he's the boss. He is in charge. The little grays are terrified of him. They're very afraid for their own existence. Another kind, besides those two, is a mantis-like being. He stands usually about 7.5 feet tall. He is extremely intelligent and very manipulative. There is another one referred to as a reptile-type entity, and he is pretty vicious, a very sexual character, by the way. And women who get picked up by this thing find that out pretty quickly. And then there's another entity referred to as a Nordic or a human-type entity, male and female. But the fact is they're red-haired, blonde-haired, and brunette-type entities that are like that as well. People refer to them as Nordics, but they're not all blonde-haired and blue-eyed.
Right.
And then there is a Bigfoot creature that shows up in some of these events, which is quite large, about 8-9 feet tall, and usually there's no uttering from him, no speaking at all. He just stands there and just huge, and again, nobody really understands exactly what his status in that lineup, so to speak. So generally speaking, those are the primary characters that show up. Those are the models, in my opinion, that the DNA is so far is based on what we found out to date, and that could change, of course, seems to come from here. I mean, when you look at the praying mantis, where would you get praying mantis DNA if you were going to make one 7 foot tall? Probably not from Venus, because you'd get a big sunburn real quick going there.
Right.
Where would you get reptile DNA? Probably from planet Earth. Where would you get human DNA? Probably from planet Earth. Where would you get ape-like DNA? Probably planet Earth. What am I saying? Basically, I'm saying that the DNA comes from here. This is the cosmic Walmart for DNA.
The cosmic Walmart. Yeah, judging by some of the people I see, too, it just so makes sense. So some of these Bigfoots that we see could be, in fact, these alien things that look like Bigfoot.
These seven models, as I refer to them, in my opinion, and this is just an opinion, it's based on current information. It's not the answer, so to speak. If
right.
we encounter more DNA, better information where our view could change. But at this point, these seven models are made, hatched, cloned, or manufactured for the purpose of interaction with mankind, to produce an effect of a amazement, fear, or whatever. But the fact is, that's not what we ought to be doing. We shouldn't be standing there with our jaw open or in awe or amazement or horror. We ought to be saying, who made that? Why is that thing here? It's not supposed to be here. Why is that thing vastly different than us? What is that all about? Those are the kind of questions I think we should be asking.
So if these alleged aliens are from here, they're not from some distant planet, and they're just kind of like hiding out, abducting us, watching us. They could basically just be the at-home home team scientists, and we're just all a petri dish.
Based on the 2,000 cases I've had worldwide, I suspect that these being that someone came here and got the DNA of these entities, took them back out into space.
Okay.
And on a massive craft, and we have a film of it, by the way, approximately 50 miles across, 600 miles long, and it was taken by a scientist, that particular one I'm speaking about, it was taken by someone in Japan, and it was close to the moon, it was absolutely massive, and 8 of our people were on board it at the time. So if it's the same craft and that's the same film, there were some amazing things on that craft. All these entities were there, as an example. Someone originally took the DNA from here, out there, manufactured, or cloned these entities for interaction with mankind to convince us that they're aliens from other planets and so on. If they're aliens from other planets, what are they doing with our DNA? Now, I'm not saying that the alien, if you could actually corner him and say, all right, now we got you, buddy. Tell me where you're from. You'd probably say, I'm from Zeta Reticuli, or I'm from wherever.
Right.
Because that's what he's been told. He doesn't know any better. Some of the entities that we've found in rare events appear to be have just been made, hatched, cloned, or manufactured. Some of them still have the covering over their eye. I don't mean the black covering. I mean the film like you were just hatched. So apparently they were just manufactured or whatever, and they're getting ready for their what we call the first training mission, in which they come down here and start getting their skills together of how to abduct people. And we have some really remarkable testimony to that effect.
How many people have you helped out in this whole abduction thing, you think?
We've got over 2,000 cases worldwide, but the fact is, in my lifetime, and I'm sure it's well over 100,000 people have been talked to and or spoken to and given help and aid and assistance to from around the world. I've been in almost every major country with the exception of Africa and China. I hope to be in Australia this end of this year. But every other major country and major cities I've been in speaking at. And I'll be in England in September and in Italy for 2 weeks. Right after that, I'll fly directly from there to, they called, wrote me this morning, said they're sending me a ticket to England, and then they're paying my ticket directly over to Italy, and then I'll be there for 2 weeks in Italy, and then I'll fly back to the U.S. after that.
If a person thinks they were abducted, what would they look for? I mean, what would they do? How would they be able to identify symptoms of abduction? And if they did have symptoms of abduction, where would they go to report it?
Two great questions. First of all, if you feel like you've had an experience, or and one of the ways to recognize something like that is to notice these things, missing time, simply things don't seem to work like they're supposed to. You had a dream, but the dream is so realistic that it doesn't make any sense, but it was realistic. You come back with cuts, marks, bruises, or lumps, bumps, scars, or something inside you. You go to your doctor, he gives an example, and he says, you have a lump on your arm, and he says, what's that object in there? And this happened like last night. That's not sleep paralysis. There's something else has happened. Or if you check yourself for the black light, as I will demonstrate when I come to the conference up there, you can see that a particular coloration on you, if they physically touched you, represents a program that you're already in and may not know anything about. So that will give you good information. But if you do suspect any of these things in your case, and certainly coming to a conference might give you tremendously good pointers and information. The second best important thing is to find someone like myself. You can go to alienhunter.org as an example and see a lot of good information. It's all free there. And you can click on Alien Hunter and it'll automatically email me and you can write your questions out and I'll answer them. The work that we do is philanthropic. It's free for abductees. We don't charge these people anything. I know what they've been through because I went through it myself in 1952 at age 4.
So how do you separate the truth true abductees with those people who are either lying or they think they've been abducted and they haven't been?
That's a great question. And again, that's why I like talking to smart people, because they ask good questions. The fact is that there are people, I'm going to give you two answers to that. There are people who are what we call wannabes. These are people who want to be noted as an abductee or someone taken and chosen special and unusual, unique, and so on. And you usually can spot them for a mile. I have a flip chart that I have that I made as a police officer, but I made it with an alien context. In other words, you assemble your own alien in the flips. I've had people that walk up there, rare, but you can tell who they are. They'll say, "Oh, I've seen that one, and I've that one, and this one over here, and this one, those three over there. I know all about that." And they go on and go on and go on. The problem is, about half of the things in there are false. I did that on purpose.
Nice.
And when they start picking out all the false ones and even the real ones, 55% of your communication, anybody's communication, is your physiology. 38% is your tone, pitch, and timbre of voice. Only 7% is your words. So why do I not believe all of your words over all your physiology and your tone, pitch, and timbre of voice? And when you sit there and flip through those things, it's just as an example, and say, "Oh, that one and this one and that one," I know you're full of it. Now, the second part of the story is I had a guy who was at certified. As soon as I saw him, I said, "You're a mental patient. Who's your doctor?" He said, "I don't want to tell you. I said, this meeting is over." He said, "Wait." And he told me his doctor. I called his psychiatrist at Houston Mental Health Mental Retardation. And I said, "This so-and-so is here seeing me." She said, "Yes." And I said, "This is what I do." She said, "I know. I sent him to you."
Oh, wow.
I said, "Why did you send him to me?" She said, "Because despite his mental condition, despite that, he's had alien abduction events, and I'm sure of it." Now, after I got off the phone with her, I said, "Why do you think she sent you to me?" He said, "Because she's got the same strange markings on her that I had on me and my wife had on herself." Well, that was interesting. She's an abductee, too. And that came from mental health, mental retardation in Houston.
Do you think maybe all of us are being abducted? It's just there's just some of us that don't remember or have no interest in knowing or just whatever.
I don't think so. The hallmarks of abduction are pretty clear. Even with the lady that didn't, that, as I mentioned, the engineer that didn't believe it, 33 out of 35 of those markers were her. She admitted that right off. She said, "I just don't believe it's me." 2 years later, she changed her mind. But the fact is that if a person is a real abductee, there are certain hallmarks that will occur. If you're being abducted, there are certain hallmarks that appear. If they stop, my events stopped when I was 17. There were hallmarks of that. There are people that tell me, "Oh, you're still being abducted, you just don't get it." And I said, "No, actually, I have a pretty good clue and you don't." And I said, "You just need for me to be abducted for your own personal whims. But the fact is, I haven't, and I would personally like to be re-abducted because I've got some serious things I would like to do in regard to that. And I'm a trained observer, not a victim anymore. I'm not an adherent. I'm not someone in awe or amazed or thrilled or shocked or stunned or whatever, and I'm not afraid." I said, "So there are two different realms there." And I said, "I'm not neither one of them. I'm a trained observer. I would love to be abducted at this point."
Daryl Sims, the alien hunter, gets abducted. What do you do first?
What I've trained several other people to do, bring back evidence.
Oh, nice. Steal something. Right?
It's not theft, because there's no morals with these entities. They can mutilate you or a cow or anything else. There are no morals, so there are none for me. It's not theft. I'm just moving objects from one part of the universe to another.
Wow.
It's like in the military. You don't steal anything in the military. Like whenever we would have inspections, if we didn't have certain things, couldn't get them, we would go to another company, another unit, and we'd steal theirs, move them over to ours. So we'd pass inspections, and they would lose, and we would win. But we didn't consider it theft because nothing's missing in the military. It's only moved from one location to another. One way to justify your theft.
You out and about? You're going to be here in March for the UFO Paranormal Summit? Other conferences?
I wouldn't miss your conference. I'm in two big, great conferences in March. Your conference, I just absolutely love it. I always have.
Thank you.
I'll always be there every time invited. Love your conference. I love the Quinault Reservation. They're good people. And you, in my opinion, are one of the best promoters. You're honest. You're straightforward. I really, really, really enjoy your conference and you in particular. That's number one. That's the first of the month. At the end of the month, I'll be at Contact in the Desert,
Ooh.
The biggest conference out there. It's called the Woodstock. Now, the question is, when do you go to Woodstock conference, the big one, and go to this one? Because they're both great conferences. That's why.
Yeah, you'll be here first, second, third. And
your conference is really neat. In fact, your conference inspired me and a friend of mine to do one up here in Houston. And yours was on Quinault, and I said, what we need is an all-Native American conference, and we just had it this last weekend.
And how'd it go?
We sold out. It was wonderful.
Wow.
Everybody loved it, and we did it very well. I represented the Cherokee. Cliff Mahoney represented the Zuni, and the Navajo Rangers, of course, represented the Navajo, and so on and so on.
Nice.
It was just a wonderful conference. Everybody had a blast.
And you're going to do one next year too, right?
In about 4 months we're going to do another one.
Oh wow!
This one they made a huge mistake at the hotel and they double booked us. We ended up in a much much smaller room than we were supposed to get, and it was literally standing room only.
Wow!
And a lot of them were standing. This next, in 4 months, 5 months from now, we're going to do another one, and it is going to be huge, and I'm planning this one. It's just going to be an absolute wonderful conference.
Will you come back and talk to us about it when it's getting closer?
Oh, I certainly will.
Okay.
Certainly.
We're going to let you off the hook now. We've took up enough of your time here for one day.
But thanks for
I appreciate the call, and it was wonderful, and I look forward to your conference. I truly do.
Okay, well, we'll see you in March, sir.
All right. And take care of yourself.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, brother. Bye-bye.
The alien hunter, Daryl Sims, who's been to every one of our conferences.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, he's helped, actually. I've talked to you in the past about how some of the speakers are difficult. Not all.
Right.
Hashtag not all. Most are great. Some are very difficult. And Daryl's not one of them.
Yeah.
He's just always so helpful. Oh, here's an example. He just emailed me. He only needs to do one presentation. He's emailed me 3 presentations saying, if anybody drops out or doesn't show up, I can fill in for you.
Yeah.
And he doesn't ask for any more money or, you know, he just wanting to help. But anyway. So what do you think?
That's what good guys do.
Right. That's what professionals do. Well, so what do you think? About, because you're a psychologist or a psycho whatever.
Psychobabbler.
You're a psychobabbler, a clinical psychobabbler. And if someone approached you and said, hey, I'm being abducted by aliens. Now, I know just probably in that profession, you don't say, no, you're not. Prove it. You know, you don't say things like that.
You don't say that to anybody. I mean, you try to find out. You know, what people are saying, you listen to them. You know, you have some concern for their well-being. You want to evaluate, is this a person that is unstable and may hurt themselves or someone else?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you don't overreact to something like that. You relax and you talk to them. And you ask them to explain what they mean and talk about, you know, what they want from a conversation. And, you know, even people who have mental illness, I mean, they're not stupid. And having a mental illness doesn't make you stupid. In fact,
right.
I've found that most people with mental illnesses are very, very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
So usually it's something that they want to convey to you, whether they have a mental illness or not. Somebody that comes to you and says that they've been at the abduction. Abducted.
Well, they could.
They want something.
They could be a mentally ill person that happened to have been abducted for real.
That's true.
Or they're a mentally ill person that just thinks that they were abducted. There's non-mentally ill people that think that they've been abducted and they haven't, right?
Yeah. But they want something. The reason they come to you and talk to you and tell you mm-hmm. this is because they want something from you. So you have to ask them.
Right.
You know, what it is.
What do you want?
What do you want? And it might be more help.
Yeah.
It might be just someone to listen to what they have to say.
Right.
So it's important to find out what they want rather than go off and call the police and get all radical about it.
Get all liberal about it.
99% of the people that that are mentally ill or even a little bit unstable mentally are not violent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just that, you know, 1% or 2% that are violent that kind of make everybody afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So I always try to give somebody the benefit of the doubt. Of course, if they start to look like they're violent, you know, mm-hmm. I'm going to take the appropriate action.
You're going to take them out?
Yeah, I just take them out. You know, with my old man legs and my old man arms.
Hit them with your eyeball.
Hit them with my eyeball. But, you know, we got to talk to people. I mean, people have something to say, and if they've, you know, say they've been abducted, maybe they have. Let's listen to what they have to say.
Right, right. I hope my question didn't...
I mean, I think the point that I'm trying to make is that we need to not be judgmental when we hear people talk about things like Bigfoot and aliens and alien abduction and, you know, any kind of paranormal thing. It all has a basis in reality somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
There's some thread of reality in all of this. And maybe somebody's just making it up, but maybe they're not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to listen, try not to judge, and to see what the person wants so that you can offer to help them. You know, maybe they need to talk to a clergyman, or maybe they need to talk to a psychologist, or maybe they just need to talk to a friend.
Right.
So listen to what they have to say. And we often give resources. Do we have resources on our website for maybe people that have been, have had certain experiences, places they can go?
Oh, yeah, there are.
All right, so you can go to our website and find this. I have to ask Johnny because I don't know anything about the website.
Put it on Facebook. You know about Facebook.
I know about Facebook, yeah. Most people don't like what I say on Facebook, so...
What, aliens are real?
Aliens are real.
Yeah.
Life is strange. There is an afterlife. There is a universe. There's people out there and things and spacecrafts and God knows what else is out there. Space trash.
Yeah. Earth trash.
Yeah, and the government wants to start setting up trailer courts on Mars, so...
Get a Walmart up
there. We gotta get a Walmart up there.
Oh, boy. Well, we gotta wrap up the show. We're out of time.
No, we don't. Let's keep going.
Oh, no, we're out of time. They're gonna cut us off.
All right. I guess we have to give up.
You gotta do your final word.
My final word.
Your catchphrase.
My catchphrase.
Yeah.
Stay strange.
Thanks.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.